Chapter 1. Gateshead Hall. It was a cold winter day in November. Although we had taken a walk in the morning, there was no chance of us going out in the early evening. The rain now came down hard, and dark clouds hung over Gateshead Hall. My Aunt Reed was sitting in the drawing room with her children, John, Eliza, and Georgina. For the time being, no one was fighting or crying, and my aunt looked perfectly happy to have her little darlings around her. I, however, was not permitted to join the family. Mrs. Reed said that I was not friendly or childlike enough to take part in such privileges. When I asked her why, I was told to go sit down and to be quiet. In truth, my aunt didn't like me. She never showed me any love or affection. My Uncle Reed, her husband, of course, took care of me when I was a small child. My parents had died when I was very young, so my uncle took me into his home at Gateshead Hall. Eventually, my uncle became very sick. Before he died, he made my aunt promise that she would look after me and treat me as one of her own once he had passed away. Although my aunt allowed me to live in Gateshead Hall after my uncle's death, she never treated me the same as her children. She never showed me love or affection, but rather kept me at a distance. She rejected everything about me, from my looks to my personality and my physical being. It is true that nothing about my appearance stood out or would be considered attractive. I was small in frame, with dark hair and pale skin. My features were also very plain. However, while I was not strong in body, I was very strong in heart and mind. When Mrs. Reed told me to go away, which wasn't out of the ordinary for her to demand, I went into the study. I liked this room because it contained not only a lot of books, but also a window seat that could be covered with a curtain. I soon chose a book and slipped into the window seat, where I pulled the curtain around my seat. Finally, I felt safe, and with my book on my lap, I was happy too. I only feared interruption, and this happened too soon. The door of the study opened, and John Reed, who constantly tormented me, appeared in the room. However, because I was hidden in the window seat, he found the room apparently empty. "Lizzie! Georgie!" he called out to his sisters in the other room. "Where is Jane?" I wished he wouldn't find me, but Eliza soon came to the door and said at once, "She's in the window seat, John." I came out from behind the curtain immediately, for I trembled at the idea of being dragged out by John. "What do you want?" I asked John, who was staring at me. "Say, what do you want, Master Reed, you rude girl?" was the answer. He then sat down in a chair and motioned for me to stand in front of him. John Reed was a schoolboy of 14 years old. He was 4 years older than I, for I was only 10. He was large and heavy for his age. He didn't have much affection for his mothers or sisters, and had an antipathy to me. He bullied and punished me each day, and every nerve I had feared him. Mrs. Reed was blind and deaf when it came to his treatment of me. She never saw him hit or heard him abuse me, although he did both, now and then, in her very presence. Being obedient to John, I came up to his chair. Suddenly, without speaking, he struck out at me and I fell backward. "What were you doing behind the curtain?" he asked. "I was reading," I replied. "You have no right to take our books. You are a dependent. You have no money because your father left you none. You should beg, not live here with a gentleman's children like us and eat the same meals that we do. Now, I'll teach you to touch my books. Go stand by the door." I did what John told me to do, not aware at first what his intention was. But when I saw him lift the book, I quickly moved to the side. Not soon enough, though. The book was thrown, and it hit me. I fell, striking my head against the door and cutting it. The cut started bleeding, and the pain was sharp. "Nasty and cruel boy!" I yelled at him. John Reed ran toward me, and I felt him grab my hair and my shoulder. Overcome with emotion and rage, I fought back at him. I don't know what I did with my hands, but he called out, "Rat! Rat!" and yelled loudly. His sisters had run for Mrs. Reed, and she now came into the room. She was followed by Bessie, the nanny, and Mrs. Reed's maid, Miss Abbott. John and I were soon separated. "Take her away to the red room and lock her in there," shouted Mrs. Reed. Four hands were immediately on me, and I was taken upstairs. I resisted the whole way, but soon found myself thrust onto a chair in the red room. "You should be aware, Jane, that you are under obligation to Mrs. Reed. She keeps you, and if she were to decide to get rid of you, you'd have to go to the poorhouse," said Bessie. Miss Abbott then added, "You shouldn't think you're an equal with Mrs. Reed's children just because she kindly allows you to be brought up with them. They will have a great deal of money one day, and you will have none. It is your place to be respectful, so try and make yourself agreeable to them." "What we tell you is for your own good," said Bessie. "You should try to be useful and pleasant, and then you might have a home here." They then left, shutting the door behind them and locking it. The Red Room was a small bedroom that was very rarely slept in. It was known as the Red Room because curtains of deep red cloth hung over the bed. The carpet was also red, and the table at the foot of the bed was covered with a dark red cloth. The room was cold, as it seldom had a fire, and it was very quiet because it was far away from the nursery and the busy kitchen. In this room, 9 years before, my uncle, Mr. Reed, had taken his last breath. Many hours passed, and the room slowly grew dark. While I looked around the darkening room, I thought of my uncle. I never doubted that if he had been alive, he would have treated me kindly. As I sat on the chair, I began to feel overcome with violent grief. My heart beat fast, my head grew hot, and a sound filled my ears. It was my own screams. I rushed to the door and shook the lock in a desperate effort to get out. Steps came running along the outer hallway. Bessie and Miss Abbott entered the room. "Miss Eyre, are you ill?" asked Bessie. "Take me out! Let me go into the nursery!" I cried. "What is all this?" demanded another voice. Mrs. Reed came into the room. "Miss Abbott and Bessie, I believe I gave orders that Jane Eyre should be left in the Red Room until I came to her myself." Bessie and Miss Abbott quickly left the room again, and Mrs. Reed, impatient of my suffering and loud sobs, suddenly pushed me back down on the chair and locked me in the room. After she was gone, I suppose I had some sort of fit. Unconsciousness closed the scene. The next thing I remember is waking up with a feeling that I had had a bad nightmare. Soon I became aware that someone was sitting next to me. In a few minutes, I realized that I was in my own bed in the nursery. Bessie stood nearby, and a gentleman sat in a chair near my pillow. The man was Mr. Lloyd, an apothecary. He asked me a few questions, and then told Bessie to make sure I wasn't disturbed in the night. He said before he left that he would visit me again the next day. No severe or long-term bodily illness followed this incident in the Red Room. It only gave my nerves a bad shock, which I still feel to this day. I felt physically weak and broken down. As soon as I wiped away one tear from my cheek, another would follow. Mr. Lloyd did return the next morning. He saw that I was up and sitting by the fire in the nursery. "Well, you have been crying, Miss Jane Eyre. Do you have any pain?" he asked me. "No, sir. I cry because I am unhappy." "Can you tell me why you are so sad?" "For one thing, I have no father or mother, brothers or sisters. If I had anywhere else to go, I should be glad to leave this place, but I can never get away until I am a woman." "Do you have any relations besides Mrs. Reed?" he asked. "I think not, sir. I asked Aunt Reed once, and she said I might have some poor low relations called Eyre, but she knew nothing about them." "Would you like to go to school?" Mr. Lloyd then asked. I didn't really know much about school, but I answered, "I should indeed like to go to school." Mr. Lloyd smiled at me as he got up. "The child needs to have a change of scenery," I heard him say to Bessie. "Her nerves are not in a good state. I'd like to speak with Mrs. Reed before I go." I can only assume that during the meeting between Mr. Lloyd and Mrs. Reed, that he recommended my being sent to school. Mrs. Reed readily agreed, since she would be glad to get rid of me. After my talk with Mr. Lloyd and his meeting with Mrs. Reed, a change seemed near. Soon I regained my normal state of health and waited in silence for the change to come.